welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast number 76. I'm Adam, and I got a message from a certain person, who will be on in a minute, asking or requesting that we have a chat about this particular episode of Doctor Who, and far be it from me to deny a person a platform for talking about Doctor Who on this show. So here's Rhys Parton.
Hello, everybody.
Hello, Rhys.
I was going to ask how they all were, but it could take a while for them to send in feedback.
Yeah, go on then. Well, certainly
your
best bit of feedback we've ever had if that happened. So, sorry about the dog
scrambling. Somebody say, I've got a broken leg, and then somebody else will say, oh dear, I've got a bit of a cold.
I see what you mean now. Right then, so we had an episode of Doctor Who called The Girl Who Waited this week. And
yes, we did.
It was well worth talking about, shall we say.
Oh, yes. I'd read quite a bit of, read and heard quite a bit of positive internet hype about it, and I don't think it was let down by that. Some of the times you read some hype saying it's very scary or very good, and you watch it and you go, it's not as good as they said it was, but this was better than some people said it was, I think.
Yes, and no, Ben was one of those people who was expecting it to be bad. So if he sticks to his normal form, he will probably still be thinking that. So it'll be interesting to see later on what he thinks. I'm predicting Kirby will love it. It does create diversity on the show, which is quite good.
I'm predicting Robert Haynes would love it too.
Cool. We'll stick by those predictions.
Okay, so I've just got some very random notes here. And to start off with, it's one of the most raw emotional episodes I've seen. Just layers the emotions onto you. And I think the three main actors do a great job because it really is just them.
Yeah. Yes, it is actually. Yeah, very good point. I hadn't thought of that. Yeah, it's them plus Imelda Staunton apparently did the voice for the... what was the thing that Amy was calling?
The interface.
Interface, yeah. And I didn't realise that until afterwards. And I was quite, wow, Imelda Staunton! so more Harry Potter, a Doctor Who links created
yes,
there.
True. But in Karen Gillan's case, she gets to play two different versions of Amy.
Yes.
And she does it very well.
Yeah, and of course, her makeup doesn't sort of hinder it, of course. But she was
she's been
outstanding this year. I think she may well have heard some of the the negative things people said about her in some instances last year, and sort of changed gear this year around, because she's been really, really good this year.
Mm. But I don't see why they had any negative opinions of her, because I think she did a great job in the previous season.
I do as well. I think she's brilliant all the way through.
But in this, with And I have to say, this makeup was the best aging makeup that they've had in Doctor Who or Torchwood, because normally it looks very dodgy.
Yeah, they just put a few wrinkles on here and there, but they've been very, very clever with this.
It's a bit like David Tennant in
there. Yeah, they haven't made her too old. That's the key to it, I think. They've made her too old,
yeah.
You know. I think usually
they're 36 years old.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's also quite an interesting idea, the faster time stream that she was in.
Mm. Yeah.
It's kind of a wibbly-wobbly, timey-wimey aspect to the story, but it's not a Moffat story, so...
No, but I do like it. As I've said in the past, I love wibbly-wobbly, timey-wimey stories. And it reminded me a little bit of the space-time thing, the Comet Relief special.
Oh, yes.
There was a bit of
that.
There
was a line about two Amys.
Yeah, and the two Amys did meet, didn't they, in that particular thing? And there was a similar interaction between them when they did meet. And, of course, I know some Doctor Who fans will grumble about characters meeting each other in out of time stream, you know. There's the Braxton Hicks effect. No, that's to do with pregnancy, isn't it?
Blinovic.
Yeah, that thing. Yes, well, I call it Braxton Hicks because I can't think of remember what it's called. Yes. Yeah. So of course that's going to be mentioned by a few people, but maybe eventually that people just completely forget it because it's happened quite a lot in Doctor Who.
Seems
recently.
Like they have in Doctor Who because the Christmas special. Mm-hmm. A Christmas Carol, the two Sardiks met.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
We had the two Amys after that in the comic relief thing.
Yeah.
And then we have two Amys in this, too.
Yeah, of course. And two Doctors have met on several occasions.
True. But although we also had the two Sonic Screwdrivers in the Big Bang meet, and
they sparked and touched each other.
No sparks flying off Amy when they interacted.
No. A little bit between Amy and Rory, but let's move away from that.
yes, let's.
Yeah, as I say, it was very brightly lit, which was reminding me of the way old Doctor Who was lit. I quite liked the sets were amazing, you know, they were so clean, and it was just visually brilliant.
Well, the robots were nice and clean and pristine.
Yeah, and very, very good. And of course, I know they've got a choreographer at Doctor Who, which creates these movements. Spot on. Spot on with these. Brilliant. They've had their own individual sort of movements, etc., didn't they? They were really, really good.
When my mum hasn't seen this one yet. When she saw the trailer, she thought it's a bit Tim Burton meets Apple, because she saw the robots and thought it was something that Apple would make.
Okay. Well, yeah, it's not a bad shout, that one. But I mean, the only thing I thought was Tim Burton, he was the garden, to be honest with you.
Yes. Well, that was featured quite heavily in the trailer, so...
But it was beautiful.
Gave her something to go off.
And it was lovely. Again, we're talking about... the performance of Karen Gillan, or as Tara Wheeler calls her, Karen Gillian. But again, Arthur Darvill, performer that chap is. He was brilliant in this again.
All three of them don't take this as a kids' show. It's a total drama to them. It's brilliant. They're not treating it like it's some sort of kids' show that just kids will sit down and watch on a Saturday night.
Well,
it's
some kids, because obviously we're seeing the book trailer for next week. Isabella has already been banned from it, but she probably will end up watching it. But yeah, it's another similar to the previous one, isn't it? The night terrors in that sort of way. That's what it looks like to me, anyway. But anyway, so moving back to The Girl Who Waited. Yeah, sorry, but. Yeah, I didn't think I'd like this one, to be honest with you, but it turns out that one of my favourites of this is not my actual favourite, because the first one of the series was my actual favourite. Let's Kill Hitler of this half of the series. But I like it when I think I'm not going to like it, and I absolutely love it, and that's the case with this particular one.
Well, I was quite worried that I would be disappointed, because I got so excited from all these reports that I heard that it was very good, and I wasn't let down. It was possibly the best, definitely of this season, but it's one of my favourites of all time.
Really? That's what I said when I saw Let's See Hitler.
Yeah.
Let's Kill Hitler, sorry.
Let's See Hitler. Yeah,
and then kill him. But this one, again, it's really good. I must admit, what rewatchability, I'd go for Let's Kill Hitler, because I have actually watched that more times than any other New Who story. I think I've watched it four times in short succession. Normally, I sort of leave it for a while.
Out of these two, I'd agree with you. This one is a very emotional, draining kind of story to watch. You feel quite upset afterwards. Mm. So, whereas Let's Kill Hitler has got a lot of fun dialogue and things in it.
And talking about the emotional aspect of it, Isabella, obviously, she was watching it, and her eyes are welling up, filling with water, when Amy was dying right at the end. That scene was designed to be, emotional anyway. Mm. And I nudged Deb, and Deb looked into her eyes, and once she saw Isabella's eyes were filling up, her eyes started filling up. We looked over at Elise, and she was sat there with a poker face, just watching us. The only thing that makes Alicia cry is the loss of her iPod, iPhone,
or Facebook,
Wi-Fi, or anything to do with that, or makeup, anything like that, and or clothes, money. but yeah, so
teenage girl stuff.
but we all enjoyed it immensely. It was just different, wasn't it? Really, I think it's. It was certainly Doctor Who-y, but it was also quite different in anything they've had over the last 5 years.
Yeah, it definitely was. I might be wrong, but I think the writer is Tom McRae, and I think he wrote the Cyberman two-parter in Series 2.
Really? Oh, I much prefer this.
That one, that was Doctor Who by numbers, and it wasn't the best Doctor Who story ever. Mm-hmm. Whereas he's come back and given us, possibly just for the story, one of the best Doctor Who stories ever. Yeah. Quite a contrast.
Yeah.
I'm just going to look him up.
I just like the fact that, and I hadn't noticed it, that when you said about there only being the three cast members in it, the only thing that actually, that's a positive, obviously, but I was trying to think, what was the main negative thing for me? The music in it was beautiful, but in some instances I noticed it. And if I noticed music,
for the wrong reasons?
I don't know if it's wrong. I think it's wrong reasons, only because I'm thinking if I'm noticing it, it shouldn't be there, or shouldn't be so loud, or shouldn't be so prominent. Because I got the feeling with the whole environment, it was a very quiet environment, and when you're hearing music playing really loudly, sometimes you think, well, that takes away the illusion of the quietness. But I think mostly it was all right. There was just a couple of instances where it got like, just overpowered things a little bit.
I could certainly see where you're coming from, but I'd have to say that for the previous episode.
Really?
For Night Terrors. Yeah, there's a scene where Amy and Rory are in the kitchen and she goes to pick up that wooden copper pan, or painted to look copper, mm-hmm. and the music's all just boom, 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 just over the top.
Okay.
But if you hear my podcast at all, you'll know I absolutely love Murray Gold's work.
And your podcast is?
Who is the Man podcast?
There we go, first plug of the day. Yes, I did get that.
Are you capping them, are you?
Yes, I love Murray Walker. Murray Gold's music just very early in the morning. Music as well, but just, I mean, it's not his fault. I said the music was beautiful, but they just whacked up the volume a little too loud on certain parts of it.
Very much down to the mixing, the mixing room.
We'll blame them.
Yes.
No blame for Murray Gold himself.
No. So, you know, I was right that he wrote the Cyberman story in 2006, and I think he's done a much better job with this. I mean, I've only seen the Cyberman two-parter twice, I think, and that was back when I was younger, and I was just thinking, wow, that's cool and scary, Cybermen. Whereas now I can actually analyse a plot, and I think maybe thinking about it, the plot of this is far superior to that one.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Oh, just brilliant. It's just, I was thinking, what is this one of the most Doctor Who-ish episodes in recent times? I know there's been a couple, but that certainly falls for me into the, this is what Doctor Who's all about, this particular.
Well, I have just heard the latest DWO Who cast with Tony and Dave. They said, whilst the Doctor's wife was excellent and fairly Doctor Who-y, this probably might take the BAFTA, if they're both given a BAFTA or something
A BAFTA for being Doctor Who-y.
No.
For just being an outstanding episode. Yeah.
But then they also said that the Doctor's wife might get it because it is Neil Gaiman. And it'll be a shame because this, I think, whilst I love the Doctor's wife, is such a touching script. The other one is very fan-orientated. This one is very...
Yeah,
just family orientated.
Yeah, and it's very original as well, which is quite nice. You know, it's a brand new planet, brand new character as far as, you know, the synthetic characters go. But there's quite a lot of similarities in that way. That's the very small cast, the sort of relationship thing. Obviously, with the Doctor's wife, it was between the Doctor and Idris. This one's more Rory Amy thing. And of course, there was a famous Hollywood sort of based British actor doing a voiceover that you don't see their faces on. So you had obviously in The Doctor's Wife, it was House, wasn't it?
And in this one,
it was The Interface. So a few similarities there between the two stories, but I'm not going to detract from, they're both brilliant. So, but yeah, difficult to choose from those two, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it is quite difficult, but I think maybe because this one's so new and I've only kind of watched it once, I could... And it's so exciting that it's new, I might go for this one. But The Doctor's Wife had that effect on me when I first saw it, but it is very, very much a fan story that you'd watch if you wanted to just remind yourself why you love Doctor Who or something like that.
No, absolutely.
I mean, out of the two, I'd show a new Doctor Who fan who you're trying to introduce to this series this one, because the other one's filled with references to classic Who and things like that. So
that's true.
It might be worth showing this one first.
Yeah, very good point. Yeah, I was thinking more if you're going to show somebody an episode to get them into Doctor Who, might be Let's Kill Hitler, but maybe that was just a little bit too
that's very heavy active. On the arc that we've had.
Oh, maybe, I suppose it is to a certain degree.
Well, the best one I would show them is the first of the new series. I'd show them Rose.
People always used to say I'll show them Blink, but there's it's a Doctor Light story, isn't it, Blink?
It is.
So, but still magnificent, nevertheless.
I like the two stories afterwards, Human Nature and Family of Blood.
Yeah, that was a good series all round, wasn't it, that one?
That was actually pretty Doctor Light too, because the Doctor, the character, wasn't really there.
No, that's good, true. Absolutely, that was probably the Doctor Lightest story ever, considering the actor was there for the whole thing. But
the character wasn't.
No, that's right. So, yes, so I'm glad you liked it anyway, Reese. I thought you might.
Did you?
Yes, I do. I thought, if there's any episode that Reese is going to like, it's going to be this one.
Well, anything with a lot of Amy in it, I'm happy with.
So Adam Purcell will be happy then.
Oh, yes.
Excellent. So, have you anything else to add about this particular episode?
Oh, I could... I've got so much I could go on about, but it would just... It'd be the same thing all over again. I thought this was amazing, and I thought that was absolutely gorgeous, and I thought Karen Gillan was absolutely gorgeous. I thought this was wonderful. So
when Karen Gillan stroked Amy, thought that Rory was absolutely gorgeous.
Oh, yes.
it was just beautifully written story, beautifully written and beautifully produced. And you can't actually imagine that the only thing that would swallowed up a lot of budget was the garden, if they hadn't designed it and created it on a computer and done an absolutely brilliant job of making it look real.
Well, if it's done on a computer, I have to take my hat off to them, because some of the shots made the...
I think the wide-angle shots were done on computer, obviously.
Amy walked out...
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think we see Rory walking through it, kind of just pacing around, waiting for... Yep.
Smaller trees. But yeah.
Yes, much smaller trees.
But yeah, excellent stuff. So, thumbs up for this particular story, and delighted that you've come back from... A slightly disappointing one in Night Terrors, although I didn't think it was that bad.
I didn't think it was that bad at all.
Well, just going by what Ben was saying, really, and what Kobe was saying. They said it was slightly better, I said it was slightly better than Curses of the Black Spot. Careful how I say that.
Right, well done.
And how else were we complaining? Fear Her. They even actually mentioned Fear Her in this, and then, of course, they said they liked Fear Her, so it's all down to...
I quite liked Fear Her. Mm. But if I had to choose out of Night Terrors or Fear Her, I would go with Night Terrors.
Yeah, absolutely. And most of the stories of this particular series, including the first half of it, have been up to this sort of standard, which is really good.
So far in this half, I think this half's better than the other one, because... I didn't really like the opening two-parter of the first half of the series, or season, whatever you prefer. And I think Curse of the Black Spot, if that hadn't come along and been relatively standalone, I would have been getting a bit cranky.
Yeah.
And we've had two standalone episodes in relatively the same spot as, the opening two-parter and Curse of the Black Spot. Mm-hmm. And they've been very good.
Yeah. Well, this one is probably... more standalone than the other one, because there wasn't any more sort of references on the little screen of the Doctor's death or anything like that. So it was all...
Yeah, what do you think about that? Do you think that's a bit too needless, pointless?
Yeah, I think they've made the point with this the Doctor dying. This episode where they were talking about, obviously, with the...
Foreknowledge
of your death, so you can change time. Or time can be rewritten or something like that. So that might have some relevance to the Doctor's demise or... Not, as the case may be, and probably will be.
If there's one thing I have to complain about New Doctor Who and even Torchwood, is that we're having all the answers saved up for the end again.
Yeah.
It would be nice if we had maybe halfway through...
Dripped a few answers as we went along. They have episodes where they've sort of thrown a few answers at us and they move on and make a few more questions and move on. And
like, Let's Kill Hitler, if that hadn't come along at the time it did, I would have been very annoyed, but it was a very good episode and it gave us answers to things to do with River and things like that, and it was very well handled on the answers side. I wish we'd get one more of them before the season finale. But Moffat has said the next series is going to be relatively standalone anyway.
Oh, yes, and I'm looking forward to that. Well, I'm not too much for obviously wishing your life away and that, but that'd be great if we could have at least one series of almost completely standalone, going back to what series one was like. That was
very well handled with kind of story arc and standalone episodes.
There was only the question, what was Bad Wolf? That was the only thing they had all the way through the series.
And they were all asking that, even Russell T. Davies, until the end.
Because he decided at the end, didn't he? Anyway.
So what do we think of the trailer at the end, just quickly?
The spooky and reminiscent of Night Terrors. And obviously they like to use the clowns, and they've used it in Doctor Who before as a thing to incite fear, because they know that fear of clowns is quite widespread.
There's that line in Night Terrors... He's even scared of clowns, and the doctor goes, understandable.
So obviously it's going to be another horror-based one, which maybe having two horror-based ones close together, only two.
It looks like it's
going
to be scarier, though.
Oh, yeah. It does, actually. But we may be surprised. So.
Looks better than the clips and the first well, the trailers we saw for it in the season trailer, you know, the small clips.
Yes.
It looks a lot better now.
Yeah, yeah. I just hope that, you know, it doesn't go drop, you know, back like Night Terrors did. And I'd hope that they can keep make it really, really good. That's all I'm hoping.
Yeah. David Williams in it.
Yes.
I was gonna say Williams.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing him. Yeah, excellent. Mm. A Doctor Who fan as well. Anyway, thanks, Reese, for coming on. And
you're very welcome.
If you ever feel the need again, please tell me so, and we'll sort something out.
Well, let me know if you ever want me to come on, because it's very fun.
Excellent, thank you. And your podcast is again?
Who is a Man podcast, which you could find on iTunes or on Libsyn, or at whoisamanpodcast.wordpress.com.
Listen to it and send him in some feedback.
Oh, indeed. Oh, I'm also on Facebook. There's a Facebook group.
Yeah.
And a Facebook account, which is Reese Parton Pod, next word, cast.
Excellent. So, some similar to ours.
Well, I got the idea from you.
Oh, did you? It's funny that that Facebook haven't spotted the surname cast is a bit dubious. But
or the attempts at getting podcast is the last name.
Yes. Anyway, mate, thanks a lot, and I'll see you again soon.
Yeah.
See you later.
You're very welcome. Bye.
Bye. That was Reese Parton from the Who is the Man podcast, and now I have entered the realm of contamination to spend a little bit of time with Alicia Pearson, Teenage Queen. Well, I mean Queen as in Teenage Wonder Girl, actually, is what it is, isn't it, Alicia? Mm. Hello.
Mm.
So, obviously, the obvious question would be, well, just give us your thoughts on this week's episode.
Liked it.
So what particularly did you like about it?
Like the Amys.
Do you remember what the story is about?
Yes.
So what was it?
No, I liked the way that I just liked it. Like all of them. Looking forward to next week's one.
Did you think it was better or worse than last week's episode?
Same.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
So did you... I mean, there was a bit of a contention towards the end when Isabella, her eyes started welling up.
Oh, no, that was cute.
Now, did you... You didn't seem to find it particularly emotional, that particular scene. Or well, if you were, you were trying to keep them in.
No.
No, you didn't find it emotional.
No.
Have you ever found any scenes in Doctor Who
emotional?
Not even the bit where Rose and the Doctor had to part at the end of...
No.
Okay. So go on, I'll give us a quick rundown of the synopsis then. It started with them arriving on a planet with a funny name, the name of which escapes me. I bet you can't remember the name of the planet. It was a Russell T. Davis style name.
No, shit, I don't remember it.
You want to remember it, but you can't.
I can. Something... Beginning with...
A.
No.
Acapulco or something like that, wasn't it?
No.
No? Well, anyway.
It's Apica something. It's not like Apicaio. What are you on?
No, the thing is, right, they arrived, don't they, and there's this room, and the Doctor and Rory decide to go straight into it, they press the button and go in, and Amy decides to hang back and go back into TARDIS and pick something up.
Picks up her phone.
Now, if you're in that situation, you've come out and the door's shut, and you call in their... how do you get in? And Rory says, press the button. What would the next thing you say be?
There's Which two buttons. One?
Yeah. Now, that's the only bit of the plot for me that falls back, because any normal person would ask which button if there was two, wouldn't they? If there was no particular symbol, no open close, it was just a red or a green symbol. She pressed the red one. The red generally indicates stop, doesn't it? Or something like that. So that's the only part of the plot for me that sort of... This is a bit silly. It didn't make much sense. And obviously, you had
and
to have
the 7-day thing, the they week.
They had to have that, though, didn't they? Because otherwise, she wouldn't go into a different room.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't want to look at yourself on the monitor, flip it around.
Trying to see myself on the monitor.
Anyway, so they go into they're in different rooms in different time streams. And the other bit, of course, then Amy's been there for a week, isn't she?
That's confusing, because then she says later, on my first day, I learned that.
Yeah, it's about the. What was it? Fusing the two robots, handbots, wasn't it? I learnt that on my first day. Now, but did a handbot appear before the Doctor and Rory did on that monitor, or did...
No.
It was afterwards. So that, again, slight discrepancy in the plot when she said, I learned that on my first day. Yes, that's a bit. I'm glad you picked up on that one, because I forgot about that when I was discussing it with Reese earlier on. So eventually she gets out of the, how does she get out of the room?
What room?
The little room. She gets out of it.
The doctor tells her to press a button, I think.
Yeah, so she ends up in this sort of decision room, doesn't she, where she has to choose where she wants to go. She chooses a garden.
She ends up in a reception.
Oh, how does she end up in the garden then?
That comes along later.
What did you think of the scenery? I thought it was really,
that's
really
after
good.
She runs away from the handbox and she goes in that cage thing.
Oh, right, okay, sorry. You're right, yes, you are. Well done, see, I'm just testing to see if you're paying attention. But I just thought the scenery was very pristine and beautiful and clean and lovely. I thought it was really, really good.
You mean good CGI?
I don't know if it's CGI.
It is CGI.
It did give the effect that it was an alien place, which I quite liked.
So you're saying it had good CGI.
I don't think there was CGI in it, apart from the garden itself. Yes. The doctor can't remain there because there's something about the medication that these bots squirt out that's... is it the germs? Or something that kills Time Lords, basically. So he has to go off back into the TARDIS to... Otherwise he'll die with no regeneration.
Well, that's a bit disgusting.
What is it?
Banana.
What have you got a banana in a bag like that for? That's revolting.
Where should I put it? In the bin.
That might be a good place for it. A compost heap. So the doctor has to go back into the TARDIS, and Rory has then given some strange glasses that he can, a bit Torchwood-like glasses, weren't they?
Mm-hmm.
Based on the idea that Gwen's contact lenses have, where the doctor can see what Rory's seeing through the glasses. Anyway, and he goes off after Amy, and very quickly finds the old Amy,
mm-hmm.
who has a bit of a cob on, doesn't she? A bit moody after 36 years
mm-hmm.
there. She's become a bit of a warrior princess or warrior queen. She's a bit Boadicea-like, isn't she?
What's that mean?
Never mind. Meanwhile...
No, seriously, what does that mean?
Boadicea is a very famous old British queen from the Dark Ages.
Oh.
Okay. And then they sort of plod along. They do plod along a bit. He has this magnifying glass that allows them to see to the other time stream where Amy, the younger Amy, is, and they see each other. And somehow the Doctor helps Rory to bring the two Amys together. And then the older Amy doesn't want Rory to sort of change time, otherwise she'll die.
Uh-huh.
And in the end, I suppose she realises that for Amy to have a happy 36 years. With Rory, she has to die.
Mm-hmm.
The end. But yeah,
end.
We're going to talk about a bit more detail about the plot, but it was a very, very good story. I'm glad you liked it, Alicia, but I'm also glad the words you said earlier on was, I liked all of them. Are you sure you liked every single Doctor Who story this year?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's good.
And about some people?
Well, I like all of them, it's just I like some of them more than others. You don't seem to like any of them more than others. I mean, you must admit that if you want to, the first story of the series, as in Day of the Moon and the Possible Astronaut, were better than the Curse of the Black Spot.
I like that one.
Yeah, but you must admit that it was better. The first one was better than the second one. Yes?
Yeah.
Right. I'm glad we've established that. So, that's it then. You enjoyed it. That's good. What about Torchwood this week? Episode 9, it's the penultimate episode of the series, and next week is the last one. What do you think of Torchwood? Because you're always very opinionated on Torchwood.
I like that one.
What did you think of the big...
I'm confused about Oswald Danes. Are they becoming friends with him now?
No, they need him. They're not friends with him, they just need him.
Okay.
And he's still nasty and horrible, but they can't do without. I just quite liked, actually, the scenes between... Reese and Danes, because there was quite a lot of Reese in this episode, wasn't there?
I like Reese.
And so it was nice to have an episode that had a lot of Reese in it.
Mm-hmm.
So what did you think of the big alien thing at the end? The blessing.
It's a wall.
A wall?
It's a wall.
What were those things that are flying into it?
Stones.
Stones? Why were they stones?
They look like it.
Yeah. So, I don't know what to read more to say about it. So you haven't got anything else that you liked about the most recent episode of Torchwood then?
Is it the last one next week?
Yes, it is. Are you relieved?
Yeah, the series. Or there's 13 episodes in it.
Last one of the... No, it's 10 episodes. The last one on Thursday. Tortured ends.
And then it comes back.
Possibly forever.
That's a bit silly, isn't it?
Does it? You say so?
You find my cardy.
So have you anything of any use to...
What do you mean, any use?
I was just saying, yeah, I liked it. That was good. Yeah, I liked it. Or, that was good.
I just liked it. It was weird, because you got more explaining. I don't get it, why Shan, whatchamacallit, blocked off.
Shanghai?
Yeah.
What's it blocked off from? I can't remember.
That's what I'm trying to remember. Oh, there it is. It's blocked... I don't know why it's blocked off. They've just blocked it off, isn't they? And it's just, like, quiet. And there's only a few people that was in that restaurant.
And indeed, yes.
I don't get it. Why do people die when they see the blessing?
Do they?
Yeah, they die. Some people do, anyway.
Some people do, yes, that's right. But some people are saved by it as well.
Yeah.
So all this thing about everybody in the world, apart from Jack, is immortal, wasn't quite true, was it? If people die when they come to the blessing. So obviously that was a big secret that they not...
And it's been there for years.
It looks organic, so obviously it's been growing for years.
Well...
They said in the 80s.
It looks like that Osmond Danes is coming a bit of part of Torchwood now, which is weird. But there's no doubt he's probably going to get...
Killed?
At the end. I bet he'll get killed by heroically trying to save Jack or something.
Okay.
He's going to get killed by...
You reckon he's going to end up a hero, do you? A child molesting...
I think he's going to end up a hero. I think he's going to, block a bullet or something like that. He's going
to, as hero, accidental hero. I don't think I like the idea of a character as his to become the big hero of the series. Somebody who's a child killer. I don't like the idea of that.
Well, he's going to get killed anyway. No doubt about that. Because he's, he's either going to get killed the American way, killing, like what he was planned to get killed, or he's going to get burnt, or he's going to be heroic.
Okay. Thank you for that. Right, so that's your prediction for the final episode. How do you think it's going to end?
Jack will go off again.
You don't think Rex will die?
No.
Okay.
And if they want to carry on, maybe they'll...
Some of our listeners already know the answers to these questions, because it's already been shown in certain parts of the world.
Maybe they'll open a Torchwood base.
In America.
Because they haven't got one yet, and they need a hub.
Where are you going?
It's
very interesting. Well, how am I supposed to conduct a conversation with you if you're over there? Right, we have some feedback. This is from Brandon, or Mr. M, as he likes to be known.
Hey, Brandon.
This chap. Hello, team. It's me, Mr. M, as seen of Staggering Stories and Flashing Blade. Well, I say seen, more like heard. Although, maybe when my words are read out, you get images of what I might look like in your mind. Are you getting those images? Are you? Can you even read this? Not really, no. Excuse me.
I'm trying to find my concealer. Just don't.
Listen, I do have very bad typing skills. You're not joking. So, the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast. Bloody hell. This is a good old podcast, isn't it? Now, I must admit that I have only listened to two editions of your podcast. You've moved again. For God's sake, can't you keep still in one place?
Yeah, but I'm a very busy girl.
Only I listened to two editions of your podcast. The microphone's there. Why do you always have to put things right in front of the microphone?
Because that's how I roll. And it's just how we roll.
Excuse me.
And it's just how we roll.
But it's just so good that I have to write in. You guys are amazing. And Alicia, she's better than amazing. I love Alicia.
Thank you.
No, I really do. I love her. I want her now. Tell her to come to my house now and bring pizza. So, reviewy thingamajiggy. Doctor Who, Series 6, 2, 32, 5, SKWAK. Impossible Silence. Number 1. Sorry, Impossible Silence. Loved it. Music, the feel, the scope of the thing. My favourite episode so far of the whole of New Who. That's 9.5 out of 10. Number two?
What's the possible silence?
Possible planet. Possible astronaut. See, you've got me confused now. Possible astronaut and Day of the Moon. This. And number two, Day of What Happened Again. That is Day of the Moon. I loved it. I think I can't remember. 9 out of 10. Number three, Curse of the Bad Plot. It was bad, but it was enjoyable. 7 out of 10. Number four, Doctor's Divorcee. It was great. I don't think it was as good as a lot of people have said it was, though. That's 8 out of 10. Number 5, The Rubbish Flesh. No, sorry, didn't like it. It started off well, though, and I did like the gang-o-doctor. 6 out of 10. The Awful People. No, even worse. I Got Lost. 3.5 out of 10. 7, A Good Man Goes to Skirmish. Ah, that's better. 8.5 out of 10. Number 8, Let's Kill the Doctor.
Your voice is very drearing, by the way.
Shut up. Now, this is the Vast Toffee MN at his brilliant best, or best brilliant, as he says on here. 9 out of 10. Daydreams. Good old Gatiss, or Gatiss, sorry. I love this. Why do people not like this? 8 out of 10. I'm tired now. I might talk about Torchwood Miracle Day next week. Mr. M. P.S. By Alicia. I think what he actually meant to say was, by Alicia.
66.
So what have you got to say to your fan?
Thank you. I've finally got a fan.
You don't sound particularly... what's the word for it?
How old is
enthusiastic.
He? How old is he?
14.
How do you know he's 14?
He told me.
So where's he from?
Don't know.
You should know, shouldn't you? Is he from the UK?
I don't know.
Right.
Well, would it make a difference if he wasn't? We have another bit of feedback. This is initially, this is a lady feedbacker. Hallelujah. We have a woman feedback. She initially wrote to me about not being able to get our show via iTunes on old iPods in America, but...
What, like the version 2 iPod?
Possibly, I don't know, but she hasn't been able to download it via iTunes, even though it's been on iTunes.
Version 3 iPods, actually.
I don't know, but anyway, so we had a little bit of a conversation. Then after we'd finished the conversation, she sent me this feedback. She said, Adam, thanks for your reply to my iTunes issue. I don't see your podcast show up on iTunes. Oh, that's a bit, that's not a bit I'm supposed to be reading. Let's move on to the next bit. Some feedback while I'm here. At first, I found all the family stuff going on during your podcast annoying.
Thanks!
And unprofessional sounding, but with each listening, I find I look more forward to hearing about the goings-on in your family's life and the technical snafus that invariably happen during the broadcasts. Also, we really enjoy the stories that Ben, Kirby and Robert bring to the mix. Never a dull moment, you guys. And Alicia, when you're not being all pouty and disagreeable, you're a lot of fun to listen to.
Oh, cheers.
Mary Lang. Thank you, Mary. New feedbackers, which is great.
Are they from... Are we actually... No, actually... Last week I asked for some woman feedback.
Did you?
Yes, I did.
Well, that was accidental woman feedback. More feedback later on when we have Kirby
and Ben?
Stuff.
When's Ben coming on?
Usually around the 11 o'clock mark, Alicia. As I've said to you countless times, we record the show.
I actually genuinely wish I was on holidays. I fancy having a chat today.
Really?
Look at my husky.
Anyway.
Look.
Yes, lovely.
It's got a TARDIS on it.
We have feedback from Ian Kirk later on in the show. And I don't know what Robert's been up to, but I'm sure he'll let us know somewhere on the line.
Is Robert going to join?
Right. So that's really about it. I've got to get a bit of stuff from Isabella, but thank you, Alicia. Unless you've got anything else. Well, you haven't been able to... be particularly diverse about your comments about, apart from you Torchwood one, you weren't really...
Oh, the Doctor Who.
Yeah, you're over there.
I liked...
We're over here.
The acting.
You're over there, we're over here.
Yeah,
again.
Well, stop moving it, and then...
Well, you're the one that's moving.
Yeah, but because I'm very busy, as I said.
Yes, go on.
Well, I liked the two characters. I like a more of a part Rory played. The Doctor wasn't really in it that much. that much. You didn't really have a key part.
He didn't have
part.
An action role in it, but he was certainly in it.
Yeah, but he didn't really have a key part.
Well, his key part was trying to coach Rory into saving Amy.
Yeah, but Rory's kind of like the main character.
Yes, he's turning into a bit of the main character anyway. The whole series.
I think he'll get killed off.
I hope he doesn't.
No, I don't. He's either going to get killed off or he's going to leave.
Well, he said at the end of the episode, didn't he? Well, near the end of the episode, I don't want to do this anymore. Yeah. Like that, didn't he?
No, he said you're trying to be like you.
Yeah. There was another bit in that.
I thought that was quite offensive.
He was sort of explaining to Amy why he didn't leave her behind. It's only because the doctor.
Got the timing.
Yeah, he's like, I just love the way he shouted that. It was just so funny. But yeah, but have you noticed in the confidential?
The doctor was like,
did you notice in the confidential that Arthur Darvill's got a beard? And it's a real beard because he went in that swimming pool thing and it didn't come off. I thought he was in disguise or something. Now, is that beard for a part he's playing after Doctor Who or is it for a part he's playing during the series? He's obviously grown it for a purpose.
Oh my God.
And also, did you also notice that the interviews with Matt Smith about Karen Gillan's performance in this were filmed in
The
Let's
base,
Kill Hitler?
Yeah.
So they were supposed to be in the... a different order. The doctor gets his coat for that episode, but he actually has already got his coat in Let's Kill Hitler. Anyway, you say what you want to say now.
Is he going to keep that coat?
I hope so. I really like the long coat.
It's like a mixture between David Tennant's coat and John Barrowman's coat.
Okay.
Because John Barrowman's coat's like long, but it's got like all the army buttons, but it's the same colour as David Tennant's coat. So it's a mixture of the both, and plus it's got the pockets like David Tennant's coat.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So, but you were going to say something else before, because I interrupted you, talking about Arthur Darvill's beard. You were going to say something?
No, I forgot
now. Oh, well. No, it feels, Alicia.
Do you think, in the silent episode, the second one of the first series, the silent episode,
yes.
You know when the Doctor had the beard, do you think that's real?
No.
Oh, it looked real.
Right, okay. I was thinking last night that Arthur Darvill is so good, he would have made a good doctor himself.
I think that I like Matt Smith and I like Arthur Darvill, but Amy's just getting on my nerves now.
No, she's not getting on my... I think she's getting better and better.
Nah, she's getting on my nerves.
She's getting better and better.
No, she's getting on my nerves.
No, she's good. But anyway, I think I've got to get on now because you've got to get ready for school and I've got to get Isabella on the show for a bit.
Well, I am ready for school and you turned off my day break with One Direction on.
Oh dear.
Yes, it is a shame.
That's it then.
I need my blazer because I can't.
Until next week. Bye, Alicia.
Right, 1 second. Do you think Americans wear blazers for school?
Yes. Yes, some schools wear blazers in America. Okay. Bye, Alicia.
Bye. I'm going to come downstairs with you now anyway, so.
And no 20 megabyte podcast would be complete without, what's your name again?
Isabella.
Right, are you in a better mood than you were when I originally tried to find out what you thought of this week's episode?
Yep.
Right, go on then. What happened in this week's Doctor Who?
The robots was trying to get Amy. I don't know what happens next.
The robots were chasing Amy and you don't know what happens next?
No.
Well, you started getting a bit upset towards it, and if it didn't you, because you had tears in your eyes. What was upsetting you?
Because my Amy was dead.
The old Amy?
No, the first Amy.
The first Amy wasn't dead, was she? She was just unconscious, she was just asleep.
No. She was just like sleeping Amy.
Yeah. And that's what upset you?
No. When the robots touched her cheek, she just slept.
Yeah, that's what I said. She was asleep. She wasn't dead.
Yeah.
No. So did you like the episode?
Yeah.
When I asked you that question yesterday, you said no.
And Daddy.
Yeah.
And the doctor just when they went back in the TARDIS, the doctor just pointed his tongue out.
Did he?
Yeah.
He did.
I don't remember that bit.
I don't remember that bit.
The same hair today as her brother.
So who did he poke his tongue out at?
Rory.
Oh, right, okay. So what do you think of Rory in this episode?
Cool.
Do you like Rory? Yeah. Nodding doesn't work particularly well on audio.
I was dreaming about Rory, I was.
Yeah, what was a dream?
It was a dream.
What did you dream to do with Rory then?
About Rory.
Yeah, I know. Well, what happened in the dream?
What happened in your dream about Rory?
I was showing Rory when I was in the dreaming room.
You were showing Rory when you were in the dreaming room?
When I was in there, I was dreaming and I was showing Rory my tricks.
Oh, what tricks? What tricks are you showing him?
I can't tell you.
You can't tell me?
Okay, I done gymnastics and I done just do exercise and I played basketball.
What did Rory say about this exercising and gymnastics?
And basketball.
What did he say?
It was cool.
You said it was cool?
Yeah.
Obviously, you must like Rory then if you're dreaming about him.
Yeah.
Do you fancy Rory? Do you love Rory?
Yes.
Do you want Rory to be your boyfriend?
Not quite sure about this.
Rory's not my boyfriend.
Do you want him to be your boyfriend?
He's not little.
He's not little? So he can't be your boyfriend?
No. I was dreaming about when he was my daddy.
Thanks. Nice. Thanks. Thank you.
You're so loved, Dad. Oh, hello, Magic. Yes.
So we established that you want Rory to be your dad, and you were upset because Amy was dead when she actually was unconscious.
Asleep!
And you thought the robots were scary, you told me yesterday.
Yeah.
Well, they weren't, though, were they?
I'm going to take my notebook.
No, Daddy.
Yes? No, that'll do, won't it, Isabella? Today. Anything else to add?
I'm going to take my notebook to write the notes.
And Amy was my mum.
Okay. So that's it then, is it?
Yeah.
Thank you. Any songs to partake this week?
No.
No songs this week? Okay, well, thank you, Isabella. Bye.
Bye-bye.
This is Toby Haydoke, and you're listening to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast.
And with me at the moment, until Kirby comes along in about 5 minutes' time, it's Ben Shoveler.
He's saying I'm only good because Kirby's not here.
No, not at all, not as slight. I'm having a bad day of it today.
Are you?
Yeah. So I'll let
why
you
are you having a... Why?
I'll explain in a moment. Are you in a position to crack straight on with the charts?
Yeah, I'll put
and
my...
I'll explain afterwards. Hopefully by then Kirby will have joined in and...
good, because... I'm currently eating my breakfast of bacon and baked bean toasted sandwiches. They're a bit hot, so I think by the time I'm on the top 30, it should be all right to eat.
Yes, indeed.
All right, then we'll start at number 30, which is a re-entry for the Untempered Schism. At 29, another new entry for Travelling the Vortex. At 28, a re-entry for the Time Vault. At 27, it's new for Outpost Scaro. And at 26, down one for Ian Todworld. 25 is also down one for 2 Minutes Time Lord. 24 is a re-entry for Bigger on the Inside. 23 is non-mover for DWO Torchcast. And at 22, a non-mover for Who is the Man Podcast. 21, it's down 5 for Sound on Sight Podcast. At 20, down 6 for the Unearthly Child Podcast. At 19, down 1, the New Who Podcast. And at 18, down 5 for Doctor's Companion. 17 is down 2 for Staggering Stories. 16 is down 7 for Bad Wilf. At 15, it's down 3 for The Pharos Project. Coming in at a rather disappointing 14, down 4 places, the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast.
I have an explanation for this.
Good. At 13, it's down 2 for Mostly Harmless Cutaway, because I'm crap.
No, that's not it.
At 12, it's up 3 for the, is that the Minute Doctor Who Podcast?
It is.
Yeah. At 11, it's down 4 for Doctor Who Review Today. At 10, it's a re-entry for the Amiga Podcast. 9's down 1 for Adventures in Time, Space and Music, and at 8 it's down 2 for the Doctor Who cast. Which sounds like something you'd do if you break your arm and you're a doctor. At 7 it's down 2 for the Impossible Podcast. Number 6 is a re-entry for Flashing Blade. At 5 it's down 1 for the DWO Who cast. They're so greedy they have 2 slots. At number 4 it's down 1 for Radio Free Scaro. Number 3 it's down 1 for Tin Dog Podcast. Number 2 is a re-entry for Doctor Who Podjock. And at number one, a non-mover for the Doctor Who podcast. How do they do it every week, Ed?
I don't know.
They don't
get people upsetting them. I've got a message from Kirby. Let's see what it says. It is a kindness that I am ready.
Oh, here he is. He's called. No, you're calling him.
I'm calling him.
Let's pretend we're asleep when he answers.
I heard that.
Oh, you heard that, Dan.
Oh, we're both asleep, Kirby.
Oh, I'm awake now. And
I woke
up without my alarm.
Oh, well done. Well, dear, I mean, you're starting to get acclimatized to this, this malarkey. Right then, we're just on the charts, Kirby. I don't think you're going to gain anything or lose anything from the fact that we've done the charts. Well, all I will say, we're in at number 14, dropping down four places, weren't we, Ben?
What's that about?
Right. Why? I know exactly what it's about, because iTunes placings take into account the feedback ratings that we get, or any podcast gets. So it's done with the sort of feed hits, plus...
Right.
A calculation they do on your out of five ratings that they do. And somebody very kindly has given this particular rating for us, which has dented our chart position. This is the rating from Adam Saunders on the 8th of September. Dogs running in, an incredibly annoying teenager, and very little actual content of note. Could do with a heavy edit and some sort of structure. And one star. One star. Unfortunately, that one star has affected our chart position, basically. And I mean, it's all very well. I can take negative feedback. I'd rather had it by email. But when it actually affects, unfairly, I have to say, affects your positions in the iTunes charts, I feel a bit hard done by, to be honest with you.
Yeah, well, you know, I think he's got a point, because at the end of the day, if we're sitting here and there's four of us talking and Lee's just shouting, I want a pizza! Then it's sometimes not a great listen. I can understand where he's coming from on that.
But I was laughing like crazy last week.
The thing though, Kirby, because earlier on I related to, because obviously it was feedback in relation to her, so... and she's at school, so she can't be on the show with us today. So she had from a 14-year-old lad who absolutely loves her and wants to take her home in relation to, you know, her performance on the show in general.
That can save you a lot of money, Adam, by the way.
We've had our first female correspondent, I think her name is Mary Lang, if I remember rightly, who came through. She initially was asking me because she couldn't get our feed on iTunes for some reason. She's from America, and apparently on her iPod she couldn't get the feed. She couldn't get the episode, most recent episodes, so we were just trying to get over that little issue. And then after we corresponded, she sent me some feedback in saying that she initially, when she first started listening to the show, didn't sort of like the family elements, but now absolutely loves it. So and the most of feedback we do get via Facebook, etc. is very positive, and they all like the way the show is, and it's a taste thing. It's just something different to other shows. I mean, if you want to go down the completely serious line, you listen to Podshock. Or if you want to have and I don't agree with the content thing, because we do discuss Doctor Who in between the dogs barking, the doorbell going. We do have very, very, in my view, good conversations about Doctor Who, and that's basically what we're trying to do.
At the end of the day, we're a little group, and if you get it, you get it. If you don't, you don't. We don't broadcast to everyone. You can't please everyone all the time. Didn't like it, sodding, quite frankly. But the one thing you can do, Adam, is tell us how to leave feedback for it, then.
Yes. Well, there's two. Obviously, now we need lots and lots of positive feedback via the iTunes feed now to counteract that ridiculously unfair one. Bearing in mind all the others have put five down. So you can do that on your iPhone by going into your search on iTunes, search the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast, and when you get into that, you've got an option. It says, well, it might say under our picture, it says 7 reviews at the moment. If you click on the thing that says 7 reviews, then you get a button at the top says write a review. Click on write a review, you then click on the bit that says however many stars you think we deserve, usually 5, which does help, and then you write the review underneath, post it, and I think it gets assessed by something or other, and then it adds to our
What happens if you haven't got a an iPhone?
You can do it via iTunes. Obviously, you've got an iPhone. You can't... Obviously, this particular thing is iTunes only, so... And that's how our charts are devised, via the DWPA podcast release within the week, and then their position in the iTunes charts. So
I've got the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast, whoone.co.uk page open with all the podcasts on forever, but I can't see where to leave a review.
What, is this on iTunes?
Yeah.
If you click on the actual our picture, then it opens up our iTunes page, and then right down the bottom you've got an option that says leave a review, and it's got like little stars. You click on the star, and then it asks you if you want to leave a review. I tried to do it with my computer, but it won't because it recognised the IP address. But you should be able to. It says write a review, and then I think you have to have an iTunes username, and it might ask you to create one. And once you've done that, you can then write a review and post it on iTunes that way. So, yes, please, listeners, if you could do that, because it's going to take a hell of a lot of feedback to counteract the negative feedback that we got, which is unfair, because, like I say, that's only one out of seven. So what's that? Like, percentage-wise, it's quite low, isn't it?
13%, yeah.
Anyway, so there you go. That's made me rather miserable. Despite we've had lots and lots of good feedback, that sort of made me feel a little bit glum. But we have had even more feedback. Sorry, Kirby.
I think you ought to know I'm feeling very depressed.
Are you feeling depressed? What's the matter?
No, that our ratings are so low.
Yeah. Well, the ratings are high, listening-wise. It's just, you know, it's quite important, isn't it, when you get something that affects...
Marvin, get out of here.
Right, before we crack on with things of a Doctor New Torchwood nature, I thought you might like to listen to some feedback we've got from Ian. Bear with me, I've got unplugged my earphones, and now I've got to play his audio, so hopefully you can hear this. Here we go, this is his Torchwood feedback.
Torchwood Miracle Day Episode 9 was set in a street of terraced houses. It was written by British soap opera writer John Fay, who has written 94 episodes of Coronation Street. There was a radio newsreader at the beginning who sounded like Russell T. Davies. If anyone can tell us what is going on, it is him. Julie Kitzinger and Gwen Cooper had some good scenes. However, I am here to deliver an obituary. I am declaring that this year's Torchwood is Category 1. Hand me a red peg. In its prime, it was so vigorous and had such interesting ideas. It was doing fine most of the time, and we could forget that there was anything wrong. Then it would clutch its chest and there would be a painful scene. Now it is living in a basement, wearing a Zombies Are People Too t-shirt with lots of old Danes for company. Gwen has become a ram-raiding drug dealer to keep it going. The team are self-consciously seeking the reset button at the ends of the earth. There will be a ceremony next week at which we will find out what it was all about. Then it will be incinerated. I think it is for the best. Bye.
Oh, that's a tight pass.
I suppose it was, really. But, I mean, it's all, like I say, it's one of very much a Marmite series, a series of talks. Would you either like it or you hate it? I quite like it. And I think it's a Doctor Who podcast that specifically hate it. So, it's a fair enough point. But he does go on, because he sent in some... feedback in relation to this week's Doctor Who. Do you want to hear that?
Yeah.
Cool. Sure.
Hello, 20 Megabyte Podcast. Is this thing working? Hello, Alicia. If your friends find that you are on the podcast through Wikipedia, you can claim that you hardly talk about Doctor Who and you spray hairspray so your dad can't. I like you, really. You bring a slice of life to the podcast and a slice of pizza. Doctor Who, Episode 10. Running down corridors again like the old days. No screaming these days, though. I'm wearing glasses to review this episode, like half the reviewers I have seen on YouTube. Amy got to do some sword fighting again, like in that episode on the pirate ship. There was young Amy, an old Amy, a young Rory and a robot Rory to make up for it being a Doctor Light episode. I expect Who Won Co UK will have action figures of those robots in due course. The episode reminded me of a Star Trek episode called The Enemy Within, which had a good Kirk versus evil Kirk. The Doctor teased Amy about Twitter. I wonder if Rory's Facebook status says when he is dead again. Have Amy and Mallory Dupont ever been on the BBC Three show called Hotter Than My Daughter? Moffat's arc. Some people say his arc is like the Titanic, but I like it. Whatever floats your boat. I have a few theories about who the Stetson Doctor is, the one we saw killed in episode 1. Old Canton III said it really was the Doctor, but perhaps not. It could have been the Flesh Doctor. This is a common guess. The spare 10th Doctor from Rose's parallel universe regenerated into a spare 11th Doctor. A Slovene in a fake flesh suit. The Tesselector. Hitler. After he met Rory, he went off the rails and tried to take over the world. No telling what he might do. I speak dog. Magic says all these theories are barking mad. There is a theory that River Song is behind the conspiracy of silence. If this turns out to be true, it is not clever. Perhaps Moffat has gone to the edge of reason and is bungee jumping over the side. Bye for now.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you very much indeed, once again, Ian. And
interesting theories. Interesting.
Yes, indeed.
Well,
interesting.
Did anyone notice that they had that little overdub last week when, at the very end of the episode, where the Doctor says, "Here we all are together again in the flesh"?
Yeah. I did notice it, but then I'd forgotten about it until you just mentioned it. Good point. Yeah,
I didn't notice it or recognize it or realize it had happened until now.
Did you not?
It's an overdub because you cannot see the Doctor speaking at that point. They're sitting on that fence outside of the apartment block or estate, whatever you want to call it. We call that an apartment block.
Yes.
Don't call it an apartment block. We call it an estate.
And the Doctor puts his arm around Amy and Rory and goes, "And we all are all together again in the flesh."
Yeah,
remember,
I did notice that, and I did think about it at the time, but I had forgotten about it until you just mentioned it then, and I thought, "God, it's a bit blatantly obvious, isn't it?"
I think that was put in there because of the swapping of the position of the episode with the bad plot. It was bad plot
Reese.
That it replaced, wasn't it?
Sorry, Reese. It wasn't me again.
Not sorry, Reese.
Right then, so this week we had an episode of Doctor Who called The Girl Who Waited. Now, I've already mentioned the fact this episode is absolutely superb. I know what you're going to say, Ben,
brilliant.
From the tone of your... Yes. Let's have a listen to Kirby.
It was brilliant.
I knew he'd say that.
No, did I, because I already wrote that on Facebook earlier.
Okay, go on and crack on. That was brilliant.
That
about
was
it.
Some of the best Doctor Who I have seen in ages. I still, of this season, I still like the Doctor's Wife slightly better, but this was so brilliant dealing with the time travel issues without the River Song story arc nonsense put in. I mean, I like the River Song stuff, but you don't need to know all the River Song stuff to watch, enjoy, get emotional. It was brilliant. So there. If you were trying to introduce someone to Doctor Who who'd never seen it before, I think this would be a perfect episode.
Somebody else said that, actually, Kirby. It was Reese, because Reese Parton was on the first section of this show, because he actually sent me a specific message before this episode went out that he wanted to come on and contribute, because he'd heard this was going to be brilliant. So he came and we had a chat about it for about 20 minutes, and that's what he said is a good story to introduce non-Doctor Who fan or somebody who's never seen the series to. Alicia earlier also picked up on, obviously it is brilliant, but nothing's perfect and there are flaws to this. And before we come on to you, Bangs, I know you're going to outline even more of the flaws, but she said that at the beginning, Amy's in this room, and later on in the episode she says, "Oh, I learned how to do that on the first day," yet in the beginning she says, "I've been here for a week," and then this robot turns up. you know, about
picky.
That's quite if a 14-year-old who doesn't pay much attention to stuff picks up on stuff like that. Okay, Ben, what did you think of it? Oh God, I dread to think what you're going to say. Go on, what did you think of it?
Right. Well, Kirby thinks it's great.
Yes.
Adam thinks it's great.
Yes.
My mate Adam, not the same one as you, even though I do class you as a friend.
Thank you very much.
He said it was rubbish. Right. And now, I didn't see it on Saturday night because I don't get to see it when it goes out live because I'm putting the kids to bed. And I normally watch it when everyone's gone to bed on Saturday evening. But when I did watch it last night, I thought it was fantastic.
Oh!
What?
Yeah. Oi, careful. No, I thought it was really, really good. I was sat here watching it. Instead of watching it on my laptop and playing on FIFA at the same time, I actually dedicated 45 minutes to watching it on the big telly off the recorded box. I couldn't stop watching it. I thought it was absolutely brilliant. Really, really well-written episode. Brilliantly acted by Rory and Amy. And there was one or two little bits in it.
Arthur and Karen. It wasn't acted by Rory.
Hey, you pedantic so-and-so.
Now who's being picky? Get Pot Kettle Black. Oh, sorry. In America, that should be something like Side Kettle Waterfall. White because we can't say black. Or something like that.
This is a momentous occasion, and the Skype's playing up. This is fantastic.
It's not momentous. I've liked many an episode of Doctor Who, just not this series. And then for once, even though, you know, I've been banging on about how if they're going to do a story arc, they should always do a story arc. The fact that this wasn't in the story arc made it even better. Oh, yeah. But there is one... Did you notice the one or two bits in there which were related to the story arc and I think are going to be massively important in the next couple of episodes?
I might have done, but you're going to remind me, aren't you?
Right, so after we'd met old Amy and we found out what she'd been doing for the last 36 years, God, did they bang on about how many years she'd been in there, though.
Hmm.
36 years. Look, I mean, at one point I was kind of like trying to work out how long she'd been in there for, and I wished they'd tell me, but unfortunately they never did. But after they'd done all that and they were then getting old Amy and new Amy back together, and the Doctor was lying about how they could be in the TARDIS at the same time and how the TARDIS could manipulate the Vortex stream so all the thingies were doppelty-dommed and chocolate biscuits fell out. The Doctor said time can only be rewritten by someone who's clever, da-di-da, and something else.
Yeah.
And at that point, I thought to myself, so even though we know that the Doctor dies on a fixed date and a fixed point in time, and that is a fixed point in history, he's just said that you can change it.
Well, they just did change it, sort of.
Well, no, exactly. But the point is, then he can obviously change the fact that he's meant to die and everyone thinks he's going to die, you know, on the beach in America. And everyone said, oh, no, fixed point in time, that's when he dies, can't change that. But he's actually then said that you can change it. So that's how he gets around dying at the end of the series.
But only if you eject the karaoke bar.
Absolutely. Well, the karaoke bar, as we know, is now gone, which is a shame, because obviously that had featured heavily in many stories. I was just taking a trip to the karaoke bar. So that's how it's all going to pan out. So everything will be all right, and who wants to live forever?
Well, that's a very interesting theory, and I'm glad it's sparked an interest in you. And I'm just astounded. I'm rather gobsmacked even that you hold this in such high esteem. It must be blooming good.
It was a good episode. I mean, if it's a good episode, it's a good episode. Some of the ones recently have been really poor, and Moffat's ruining Doctor Who. He had, you know, very little to do with this episode.
Now, may I be pedantic about what Alicia said, because I figured it out.
Yeah.
It was Amy's first day in the non-sterile area.
Oh, okay.
The first day that Amy is in the non-sterile area is what she was referring to, learning how to disarm the, or deactivate the handbot.
Right. Okay, that's fair enough then.
Yeah.
In that case, it was a lot better than I originally thought.
Did you think this episode reminded you of the girl in the fireplace at all?
No.
Isn't it? Really?
No. Well, it reminded me a little bit of an earlier episode. It was a Doctor's Wife, in the way that they had the sort of, it was the interface, sort of a Hollywood star, British Hollywood star, sort of talking in a deep sort of echoey voice, monotonic deep episode voice, that sort of side of things. And it was a very small cast. I think there was only like four or five people in the cast, because the only other person we saw other than Amy, Rory and the Doctor was an image of some hostess or something like that on the video.
Yeah, the checking girl, yeah.
That's what it reminded me of, the similar sort of thing to Doctor's Wife in the very small cast and that sort of thing. Although it was a lot brighter, Doctor's Wife was quite dark, this was quite well lit. That's the only one it really reminded me of.
But if you replace the magnifying glass, which I thought was a really clever idea, with a fireplace, and then you see the person aging through the fireplace through the magnifying glass.
Good point.
Oh, yeah, okay, I didn't think of that one. Yeah.
Of course it's a good point, I just made it.
That wasn't just any British star, that was Professor Dolores Umbridge. Yes, Imelda Staunton.
Hollywood-nominated actress. Oscar-nominated actress, I beg your pardon.
She got nominated for Hollywood, yeah, that's right, yeah.
I'm under stress at the moment. Yeah, so, are you still there?
Oh my god!
I can't believe it, you're still there!
We've done more than one and a half minutes.
This is really awkward because normally we're just sort of disagreeing on these things, and all we can do now is just gush about this wonderful piece of Doctor Who.
Have you just cut out?
No, I'm still there.
All right. how ironic that would have been.
Go on, Kirby. Have a gush, going. Kirby.
I did already. okay. I'll have a gush. The mill has done an excellent job in some very subtle details.
Yeah, I didn't. I want to watch that a second. You're talking about the garden and the trees and stuff.
Mm-hmm. When Amy runs across the handbot for the first time, out on the terrace, and it can't get her with the hypodermic, so it decides to switch to the blow darts. And she ducks behind the counter, and the first blow dart hits the counter.
Yeah.
Watch that.
With the little mist that comes
very
out.
Very mist, yeah.
Yeah, that was good, yeah.
Great.
Subtle details.
And all of the sections where Amy is talking to herself through the magnifying glass,
through the looking glass. Oh no, that's been done before.
Yes. Showing her the old Amy and young Amy together.
Yeah.
Just marvelous work.
Yeah, and really, really good acting as well. I thought.
Oh, she was. Yeah, they were all outstanding in this.
Last year, I had my doubts about Karen Gillan.
Mm-hmm. What?
I didn't think she was all that great in the first couple.
What? What?
She is very, very talented. She's very fantastic. Versatile. I mean, I used to watch that comedy series she was in on Channel 4. Was it Kevin?
Bishop.
She played all sorts of different types of comedy characters. But a bit Catherine Tate. I thought she was the new Catherine Tate until she got the part in Doctor Who, because she was so versatile in the different types of characters she could play. Mm. She's incredibly talented.
Oh, and I loved some of the sections when old Amy's really mad at the Doctor and at Rory, and she's mad in such a nice Scottish accent.
Yes. Yeah.
No.
She was very convincing as the old Amy.
Yes.
Very. I mean, I know they're prosthetics and that. My goodness, was she good at that.
Really, I thought they'd just, like, filmed her 36 years in the future.
Did you?
Oh, yeah.
Of course, yeah.
That was all makeup, wasn't it? Wow.
Well, one of the bits you liked about this particular... Hopefully we can keep the Skype going for a little bit longer. That you liked about this particular episode. Any things that stood out for you, Ben?
Well, yeah, as we just said, the bits where Karen was talking to herself through the magnifying glass were particularly good. The looking glass, yeah. The setup of it was really good. The first, like, 10 minutes really set the scene brilliantly, and it was just like, oh, this is going to be a very interesting episode. And you kind of knew what was going to happen, that she was going to go into one room, they were going to go into the other, but then the fact that the one time stream was going faster than the other and all that kind of stuff. As I say, that's going to have a big bearing, I think, on how the Doctor actually doesn't die at the end of the series, is... he's not going to. Don't worry about it.
The only fourth floor for me in the plot, and I know I said you covered Alicia's point quite well, Kirby, was at the beginning I said to Alicia, now if you walking into that scenario, you've just come out of the TARDIS, the Doctor and Rory are in a room, You know they've gone into the room, and you hear from within, press the button. You've got two buttons there. What are you
say? Which button?
Yeah, you would say which button.
You don't just say, oh, I'll go for the other one.
If you've got a choice between a green one and a red one, you're more likely to press the green one because green is for go if you're a human being, I would have thought. I mean, that's only my slight...
No, see, I'd have pressed the red for Man United.
Okay. But that's the only thing for me. Amy, you would have asked Amy's which one, but then you wouldn't have had a story if she'd done that. But, you know, that's the only thing.
What a crap episode that would have been. Yeah. All right, we're all in the same room. All right, let's go.
But other than that, magnificent. Return to form for me for Doctor Who this week, and I hope next week's is going to be, because it seems a similar sort of type of preview than Night Terrors was. So I'm hoping that it's not going to be as
bad as Night Terrors.
I'll say bad as a drop.
I am saying as bad as. Okay. I'll say definitely as bad as Night Terrors. It was last week was awful. This week was really really good. And it was one of those standalone episodes that we got used to from the first. Kind of like four series that dipped out of the story arc when Russell T Davis, someone who knew what he was doing and wasn't making things up as he was along, was in charge of the show. So
I'm glad this was a good episode, and I'm glad you liked it, Ben, because obviously if every single episode is bad, you're not going to watch the next week, are you? On that thought,
it was this week a case of, oh, got Doctor Who to watch, but it's like, tennis is on, I've got toenails to pick. It wasn't something that I was thinking, great, I've got another great episode of Doctor Who to watch. It was going to be another one like last week, which was a bunch of turd.
But then you were pleasantly surprised.
But it wasn't. So I was pleasantly surprised. Excellent. That actually this week it was very good. So
So then, that's a little bit of... we may return to Doctor Who later on. We've got about 15 minutes before Ben's going to be appearing on what radio station?
A BBC Radio 2.
With Mr. Chris Tarrant. So
yeah, I thought it was really good, actually. Not the best episode. Together, hand in hand. It wasn't the best episode of the series, but obviously it's now set up the finale.
Mm. Do you have a feeling the finale might end up being a bit of a damp squib letdown, all this build-up to something that might be a bit of a disappointment?
I've seen it. I'm not going to comment.
Okay. Brilliant.
Well, you could say, Kirby, you could comment, and is it... a disappointment.
Spoilers.
It's not a spoiler. It's not to tell the plot, but is it? Does it live up to the big build-up? Basically,
No comment.
Okay, fair enough. That's good.
Say it. No.
Yeah. that doesn't surprise me.
The one surprise at the end was even sort of predictable, and I'm hoping that we get more Torchwood, but I have a feeling we won't.
No, I think you're right.
And if you're going to give us more Torchwood, give us Children of Earth again, and not this 10-episode.
Yeah, or just give us 10 individual stories like we used to have.
That's quite funny what you say there, Kirby, because one of my other friends said to me the other week, this Torchwood isn't as good as Children of the Earth because it's too long, and they've stretched it out way too far. So that's interesting you say that.
Mm. This would have been fine at 5 episodes.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. So and as far as the one that you guys are talking, episode 9.
Yes.
I haven't seen episode 9. I've listened to episode 9 because last week I was just so tired of dealing with Torchwood that I just laid there on my bed while my geek daughter was watching it, and I listened to it. While she watched it, occasionally I would sit up and look. Oh, what's that? Oh, okay, fine. And then I'd lay down again. So
doesn't sort of give it a very good rating, does it? What about you, Ben?
Sorry, what we're talking about now? I mean, I think basically, were we talking about last week's or this week's episode now?
Episode 9, the last one we had in this country, yes, the penultimate of the series.
Yeah, it was all right.
Yeah, so sorry, that was all right. I quite like the development of the relationship between the character. I like the way Jack suddenly turned up in Wales. I like the fact we had lots of Reese in it, and his sort of attitude towards Danes. All those sort of character and relationship sort of type things were really, really good. Good sort of bouncing off each other and stuff. That was brilliant.
I think what's going to, how it's going to finish, and Kirby, you can keep quiet.
Anything,
Kirby. Uh-huh. It's obviously going to be something to do with Jack's blood, because they keep on, he keeps on saying, it's nothing to do with my blood, so it clearly is.
Yes, yeah, that's right.
That's like the worst red herring ever. No, let's put them off the scent by saying it isn't what it is actually going to be. So there's going to be something to do with
blood. You know what I would say? I can imagine when it gets, if it does get revealed that it's to do with Jack's blood, if I was stood next to Jack, I'd love to be able to... So is nothing to do with your blood then, Jack?
Yeah, nothing at all. Whoa, what a surprise. So, yeah, it's going to be something to do with that. And then he's obviously going to get his immortality back and everyone else will go back to being mortal. Oswald Danes will get shot in the head or something, or burnt or something.
What wants to happen, though. The other thing, of course, and don't say anything, Gabby, was Alicia was... Aww. We were asking whether Rex dies or not. Alicia has already voiced her opinion that Rex lives at the end of this series. So, well, that remains to be seen. What's your idea? You think he'll die? I think he'll die. So I think we're voting 2-1 that it's the end of Rex. Because one of the Torchwood team in every series has to die somewhere along the line. Yes, Kirby, sorry.
No, I can't comment.
I know you
that.
Can't comment. That's what I'm saying. Now, what do you think, Magic?
The answer to that is very, never mind.
Very never mind. Thank you for that, Kirby. That's great. Right.
You'll find out in 4 days.
It was okay. I'm glad we're finally reaching the end of the series. It's not what I am with Doctor Who. I hate it. I know we want to find the answers, but I hate it when the series comes to an end, because I know it's going to be ages. I'm not that fussed whether we have another year or so to wait to another series of Torchwood. I'd like to see another series of Torchwood, but I'm not in a hurry to see another series of it.
I do like Torchwood. I like the character of Captain Jack.
I do too.
I think what they've done with it this series, though, is they've, you know, as we've said before, there's been too much concentrating on him going around and doing his thing with other men in bedrooms that we don't really need to see. And
unnecessary smut.
Yeah, it is.
But they did that in series one, though, Ben, didn't they, with the unnecessary smut? Because it was later on they were allowed to do it. The episode one, didn't that involve some woman having sex in a toilet with some person that then exploded into a pile of dust or something like that?
That was episode two.
That was episode two. But so fairly early on, blatant smut.
It was, but, you know, there's a difference between, you know, and the character of Captain Jack's changed a little bit as well, I think. And I was also a little bit upset that when they were in Scotland, Captain Jack didn't do his a Scottish accent. You know, I think that would have been a great opportunity for him to go, oh, I don't think we need to be here anymore, let's go back down south and I'll start speaking proper. Like, I went into Geordie then. See, I was actually going more southern with the accent as I was talking. That's what I was imagining him doing in the car. And the other thing is, at the beginning of the episode, did anyone spot it, say, 3 or 4 months, weeks, or whatever later? Because I missed it.
I didn't see that.
Because it must have been, because they obviously scooted the time story on, because Jack was getting a little bit better, and then they were talking about how things had moved on. But I didn't ever see a caption saying... 3 weeks later, or 4 weeks later, or 4 months later in Scotland, or whatever.
I didn't see a caption about that either, because I wasn't watching.
Well, I was playing on the computer. So.
Certainly, obviously, with this miracle going on, the ability to travel across the Atlantic seems to be much easier now. I suppose and I know this is a bit of a touchy this sort of time of year for Americans, but the terrorist threat is not so much of a threat if everybody's going to live. So, obviously, they're not going to be... That seems to be that their ease of travel across the Atlantic.
I heard yesterday that we don't have to take our shoes off the airport anymore.
Yeah.
When can we start taking drinks through again? That's the annoying thing about this whole thing. Having the airport monopoly, the airport shop's monopoly on drinks now, and the fact they can charge £45 for a bottle of water because you're not allowed to take any through. That's just a con. Thanks, Al-Qaeda. Thanks a lot. You may have seen on just slightly off topic, and this will please you, whether it was who gave us 1 star for going off topic occasionally. Did you see on my Facebook status yesterday, I put, because obviously in America, they say 9/11. Mm-hmm. I should say Kirby says 9/11 because he's an American. And obviously they read that September the 11th, whereas we in this country do the date first and then the month.
Yes.
So 9/11 to us actually means the 9th of November. And do you know what happened historically on the 9th of November, 9/11?
What, it was the London bombings?
No, Berlin Wall came down.
Oh. What was the London bombings date? Wasn't that 7/11?
That was 7/7.
Was it?
Yeah. Thanks for watching, Ab. Keep up.
Yeah, because I remember when that happened, when the London bombings happened, because I was just travelling away from the Saint radio station, and that's when I heard the news.
I was working in somewhere in Berkshire. Where was I working? A radio station in Berkshire on the day that it happened. And the roads were a mess. Trying to get to work was a nightmare. But anyway, that's gone slightly off topic. But yes. And also what happened on the 9/11, in Britain's 9/11, mm-hmm. is if you remember a newspaper boy called Carl Bridgewater, he got murdered on that day.
Wow. Thank you for that.
Anyway, back to Doctor Who and Miracle Day.
Yes.
When we got onto that was because, obviously, in Miracle Day, no one dies.
Yes, but talking of no one dies, no one died in Doctor Who this week. No one died, well, apart from Amy, sort of, at the end, but, you know, she just went and never existed. Or did she?
Well, maybe she hooks up with the second incarnation of the David Tennant Doctor who was living with Billy Piper and decided he didn't want to live with Billy Piper anymore because she was the old version. He wanted a new updated version of The Apprentice. Apprentice? Not The Apprentice, The Assistant. And so went looking for Amy Pond, but he got travel sick, ended up going too far into the future and ended up meeting 50-year-old Amy Pond instead of the current Amy Pond that we know. Then they went back and found Romana in E-Space with the original K-9, not the second version, the first version, and they're currently sat in Starbucks having a coffee.
Yeah, okay. Let's talk about this 36-year-old Amy. As far as the makeup goes, I'm glad they didn't overage her for somebody who's probably in the region of 57. I think that's particularly one of the best parts of it.
I think they underaged her massively. I don't think she looks. No. Because if you take her to be, what, about 20, mid-20s now?
She's 22, isn't she? Something like that.
And you add 36 to that, you're looking at nearly 60. And she didn't look nearly 60.
Well, I don't know. It does depend on the person, doesn't it? If you look at...
No, but everyone always looks the same when they get to 57.
Look at Lulu. She's 62.
Yeah, but she looked younger than Lulu, if you're going to put it like that.
That's right. Lulu's 62, and Amy's supposed to be 56, 57.
And I just remembered, I wasn't going to do today's podcast in absolute anger at you for watching Big Brother the other night.
Yes, I love Big Brother.
Well, out of the podcast today.
Yeah, in anger. On it at the moment.
New series of Big Brother started, apparently. The only person... the wife's just shouting, yes, you did say you weren't going to do it today. Because I was so angry.
I'll tell you what I was going to do, Ben. I was going to do this whole podcast without mentioning Big Brother, and then you come along and mention Big Brother.
Yeah, but I'm still annoyed with you.
Oh, yeah? Oh, well. I'm still going to watch it.
I mean, just complete bobbins.
I watched the first... series of the American Big Brother, like, what, 12 years ago, and that was it.
Well, let me tell you, Kirby, in this country, it was on Channel 4 for 10 years, but then they dropped it last year because no one watched it. And because it's full of sycophantic people who just want to be on telly for no reason apart from that.
There's plenty of programmes around that have got sycophantic people on that want to be on telly, but Big Brother's the best because it makes fools of people like that, and that's what I love about it.
They're just words that you'll have to edit out if I say. So, yeah, but by the middle of the series, they'll be struggling to hit a million viewers. It'll be 800K, and it'll last one series, and then they'll have some good sense, and then they'll drop it.
I bet they won't, because I think anything that's just around the million mark for Channel 5 is a good viewing figure, so I think they're quite happy to have it on there.
I think they're expecting more.
Well, they need to have the live feeds and stuff like that. Anyway, let's move away from Big Brother. This is not a Big Brother podcast. What's the matter with you?
I don't blooming watch it, mate. You're the one who watches it.
Hang on. I've got something very special happening to this podcast around about now. I don't know if you can guess what it is.
Robert! Hi, guys!
Let's hope he doesn't swear when he answers. Hello?
How you going?
Hey, he's got his earphones in.
Hey, look who joined.
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah, so have you got your earphones in?
Yeah.
Hey, right then. Now, I had noticed your feedback is conspicuous by its absence this week, so I thought...
I have actually sent it.
Well, it wasn't there when I started recording.
Well, when did I send it?
It's a different time stream.
Yeah, probably. I went to the Red Waterfall.
Oh, God's sake.
What are you doing? We're in the Green Watermelon.
Oh, damn. I'm going to spend my life here.
Yes, you are. By yourself. Aging a lot quicker than we do, son.
So then, Robert, Ben has got to go in a minute and appear on the radio. BBC Radio, to be precise.
Doing what?
what are you doing on the radio, Ben?
Talking, probably.
I'm doing a thing called Battle of the Oldies, which is where you choose some of your favourite old songs and then Chris Tarrant decides if he's going to play yours or the other person who you're up against. But it'll play mine, because I'm going to be a bit of an arse kiss to him, because I love Chris Tarrant.
Ben's a sort of retired celebrity, aren't you, Ben?
I am a retired celebrity. At the moment, I'm a professional unemployed.
And he appears, instead of running radio shows, now he appears on them.
But the excitement I can see, I can, you know, ensue from this, mm-hmm. is that Chris Tarrant is one of my radio gods, right?
Yes.
And so for me, talking to Chris Tarrant on the radio this afternoon is a bit like Adam talking to me, one of his radio gods, yes. on his podcast every week.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So anyway, Robert. So, bearing in mind I have no way of accessing the feedback you sent me, is there any way
I sent about an hour ago.
Oh, we were recording about an hour ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It says on Facebook, it says about an hour ago.
Okay. So what did you say in it?
Hello, and you're welcome to my feedback for the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast. Let's see. This week I'm going to be talking about The Gathering, episode 9 of Torchwood Miracle Day. And second last episode of the series. 2 months later from last episode, End of the Road, and as mentioned of the economic disaster that's happening around the world, and just a bit of side info on that is that RTD is an uncredited radio news presenter voice on. With that, so just a bit of information there. We have Esther and Jack on the run in Scotland, apparently. Didn't know it was Scotland, but there you go. And Esther has been taking blood from Jack, as it seems it's significant to the miracle and the families and the blessing. So that blood is stored in a metal briefcase for whatever reason. And we have Oswald Daines turning up at Gwen's house, and so he's got further information behind the miracle, and still as slimy as ever, and seems he's being fitted into the plot somewhat here, I thought. And we find that Jilly is hired by Firecourt to, with foreign news clips, to mistranslate them, not actually translate them into what the people are properly saying, so that things like the blessing are disguised, so that it won't be picked up in, I guess, when you do internet searches, etc. So she's been doing that kind of stuff. And it's noted that there have been blood banks burnt down in both Shanghai and Buenos Aires. And realizing that they're at opposite points on the earth, and therefore getting the Firecore logo of a globe with a line through the middle. I thought that was a nice touch. So we have that bit with Gwen's father being discovered, and first of all not being discovered, they thought they got away with their plan, and then he comes back with his infrared app for the his iPhone. Seems there's an app for everything. Funny how Gwen was saying that there are rats down there, and they actually find a mouse. What else? I can't think of much. Oh, I just thought, it's when Julia's given a new name, it is as Lucy Staten Meredith, and told to stop having her former identity, I guess, so that maybe so she won't be tracked down. And there's she has a meeting up in Shanghai with one of those member of the families, and say it's her skills that are mistranslating that they want to rewrite or write world history for the families. So she's taken to the blessing, which turns out to be a massive crack that runs through the entire earth, and no molten lava or volcano, nothing like Doctor Episode Inferno. I thought it was a nice effect, especially with those what look like red bricks going in. It's a good atmospheric type effect. We see with Jack and his wound still bleeding 2 months on from him being shot, when Gwen takes the dressing off and the blood gets onto the floor, and we see the track of blood getting drawn like a magnet across the floor towards the direction of the blessing. Very good episode, I thought. Sort of wrapping things up, you know, getting further towards the end of the series, and yeah, it's pretty interesting to see the links with the global financial crisis, linking that in with the miracle and the economic collapse. So yeah, everybody's been doing a good job with their acting, etc. And it's been going very well, and I won't spoil it for those who haven't seen it yet, but episode 10 is very good, and to me, sort of wraps things up quite nicely with a bit of a surprise. So, yeah, stay tuned for that next week for those in the UK. And now on to Doctor Who and the Girl Who Waited, episode which I just watched today, which is Monday, whatever, the 11th, 12th, I don't know what day it is. So, 10th episode of this series of Doctor Who. And a bit of a departure in that it's a bit of a standalone episode with really sort of no linking into the other episodes. So, that's unusual in itself. As even like the episode last week, there was still that linking with the Doctor's image stating his time and death on the TARDIS screen. One of the screens, anyway. So, we got that Apalapa, whatever. So, yeah, the Doctor's taking them on a holiday, as indeed the Doctor used to do. Promise his companions all throughout the series, most notably around the Davison era. Thought it was a nice touch with the white rooms and the white robot. Sort of reminded me a bit of the mind robot going back to the Troughton era. It looked very white. Interesting premise with the two rooms and one with time going normally and another with time going fast but appearing slow to the person in that room. Seems to be designed for the residents of that particular planet, but also Time Lords, which is interesting in itself. So Amy, for some reason, goes back into the TARDIS to get her phone, which is why she ends up in the wrong room. I don't know why they didn't tell Amy which button to press, but then again, I guess we'd have no plot otherwise. So they are at the two streams, and it's a kindness facility, and yeah, I guess that's referring to the two time streams. And we have Amy choosing to go in a very Tim Burton-esque Alice in Wonderland type of place with the garden there. It's a nice sort of effect coming from the white room into that garden. It was a bit funny with the oversized magnifying glasses as well. That was a bit of a comical sort of effect, but then getting used to a nice dramatic effect with communicating with ones from different time streams, and such as allowing Amy to see her older self. I thought the makeup was pretty effective for Amy, apart from the arms. They didn't make her arms look any older, just the face and neck. So that sort of let things down a bit. But Amy did a very good job of... Karen Gillan did a good job of showing her younger self. Interesting how they had a nice little link with Rory. We've had the episode Amy's Choice last series. This could have almost been called Rory's Choice, with Rory having to do something particularly doctorish in deciding how to sort things out. In this case, it ended up with the older Amy dying, so to speak, or not existing. And Rory had that nice bit about saying, "This isn't fair, you're turning me into you." Also like the bit when the doctor was instructing Rory on how to cross those wires over, etc., and he says, "It's hardly rocket science, it's quantum physics." I don't know which would be the worst, but that was a nice little funny touch. And nice character touches as well with the older Amy, seeing how he seems to prefer the younger Amy, and the expressions on her face depicting everything. So it was a nice bit of a character bit for all of them. And the robot voice sort of reminded me of the robots from the Robots of Death. And I guess I was wondering why they didn't sort of have eyes. But I guess so you have the reveal of the quite a nasty looking face when it opened up with the syringe and that array of needle looking things. Very good episode, I thought. It's funny we have more Amy's interacting with herself, as it has been done in The Big Bang and the episode Time, one on the children in need bit. What else could I say? Nothing much, because I haven't got much time. But anyway, I thought it was a good episode, both Torchwood and Doctor Who, and it's interesting to see what's going to come with both. I already know what's going to happen with Torchwood, but not Doctor Who, so have to see. So anyway, enjoying the podcast, and that's it from me, and goodbye.
Regarding Torchwood.
Yes. Not Torchwood, don't you dare talk about episode 10.
I wasn't going to, I didn't on the thing.
No, good.
On my feedback. All I just was saying is that, they're sort of getting to the meatier end of the series, and
it's called the end. It's a bit when I normally tell you what the whole thing's been about, isn't it?
No, starting to round up things, and we're getting to know, like, the Fire Court symbol was meaning the world, and the line through it was the blessing.
I like that bit.
Yeah. And, building
thing?
Up...
I mean, this great big... All we saw was this massive, like, organic thing with lots of things that seemed to be flying into it or in out of it. I didn't quite get what these things were that were flying in and out of it.
They look like red rocks. House bricks.
Yeah.
They just looked like rocks, didn't they?
Well, somebody said they were blood cells. I thought, I don't understand, because they were standing in some underground thing looking up at it as if it was humongous, And there's these things flying in it. Nobody seems to know what they are, apart from Kirby and you, who've seen episode 10.
I don't know, has Kirby seen it yet?
I didn't see episode 9, I listened to episode 9. Because
well, you wouldn't have missed that. You wouldn't have got that from listening to it, unfortunately. It was a certain right. a visual thing, this particular thing.
Yeah.
Right, I have seen episode 10.
So it's in episode 10 anyway, so...
Ben, are you actually waiting for a call from the BBC?
Yeah, I saw that in episode 10.
It was just a big crack in the rock. It was just like... Oh, how's that a mirror?
Did you not get the feeling it was something organic?
No, I got the feeling that... To me, without being too crude and graphic, it looked like a bit of a lady part.
That's what I thought, but I wasn't going to mention it.
And actually, I wouldn't say. With lots of rocks going into it, which was just weird. It meant nothing to me. It didn't look like it was some sort of miracle. Why anyone should look at it and discover themselves, like that American woman kept on saying that people were going to or whatever, just bizarre to me. It was almost, and I've got to be careful with my words here, it was almost a massive letdown.
I thought you said you
Tell
liked
you
it.
What.
I did like it.
No, it was all right, you said, didn't you? You said it was an all right episode.
Yeah, Ben, they actually describe how they come to find the importance of it the next episode.
Oh, good. Well, I'm 8 minutes and 4 seconds away from watching that episode. Well, I could be, potentially.
Question.
Yes?
Did I hear a reference to the Silurians?
Yes, you did, Ben, Kirby. But I think there was an episode...
You weren't named, Ben.
Will you two be quiet? Anyway, Ben, are you getting a call from the BBC? Are they phoning you in relation to this appearance on the radio?
Yes, Chris Tarrant will be calling me shortly.
Ooh, excellent. Don't forget to get him to plug the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
I tell you what, Adam.
Yes.
I'll slip it in just for you.
Excellent. That's www.20megabytedoctorwhopodcast.podbean.com.
I wonder if whoone.co.uk would send me lots
on,
of...
yes, them.
If I mentioned them.
Well, not on the BBC. Breakfast. They won't be very happy if you mentioned... Well,
I'm sure it'll be edited out.
Yes. Oh, excellent. Okay. So, Kirby... sorry. Robert.
Did you want to hear a bit of trivia?
Of course.
Do you remember the start of the episode that had a radio voice?
That wasn't someone... Me.
Talking about the financial crisis.
I've heard this bit of trivia, but I've forgotten what it was, so you're going to remind me.
It was Russell T. Davies.
It was actually him, yes. I heard somebody said, was it him? So it actually was him, was it?
It was him, yeah.
Oh, excellent.
You're going to force me to go back and actually watch that episode, aren't you?
You'll have to watch it, because you want to see the lady bits at the end.
You need to watch it, you only need to listen to it.
Those parts, that's at the beginning of episode 10.
Oh, it is. I mean, oh, sorry.
You can still see the silly thing in episode 10.
Mm.
Yeah.
So Robert, I don't know if you heard me earlier. I listened to it. I was lying on the bed listening to it while my geek daughter was watching it. So I was bored by it and didn't want to deal with it.
That's the first episode I've heard you say, Kirby, that you were actually bored by of this series of Torchwood.
What bored you?
I just... the whole thing is just taking so long. I just didn't want to deal with it. That was last week.
You just
week,
wanted to get to the end.
And that's how Ben felt about last week's episode of Doctor Who.
And look how good this week's was.
Yes. Yeah. What do you think about this week's episode of Doctor Who, Robert?
I loved it. And I thought it was a good chance for the actors to actually act. And a nice little sort of a bit playing around with time as well. And should this have been called Rory's Choice? We had Amy's Choice last series.
Well, that's a good Amy's Choice. You made the wrong choice to press the wrong button.
Yeah. But I like some lines like the Doctor saying to Rory, it's hardly rocket science, it's quantum physics.
Yeah.
That was nice. And when Rory was saying to the Doctor, he says, this isn't fair, you're turning me into you. When he about
that was
choice.
A good line, actually.
Yeah.
It's funny, isn't it? Because for the last couple of series, obviously, this should have been called, as I just pointed out, Rory's Choice. Last series,
yeah,
we had
that season nonsense.
And then in Series 4, there was Turn Left with Donna in the car, which was a very similar kind of episode as well, in the fact that she had to make a decision going one way or the other. That's one of my favourite episodes, actually.
Oh, yes,
that was
absolutely. Really good. Oh, yes, absolutely.
Very Dr. Light. That was
yeah, exactly. And
he was dead. That's why it was Dr. Light. He was dead.
That's the only time Tennant's doctor died, if I remember rightly. Carry on.
My God, yeah, that was only once, wasn't it? And it wasn't exactly Dr. Light this episode. He was in it quite a lot.
Well, no, I'm talking about Turn Left. He was Dr. Light, not this episode.
Yeah, no, but then I'm talking back about this episode.
Oh,
Keep up.
Oh, sorry.
Time's gone all wibbly-wobbly again.
That's Skype for you.
Yeah, I'm currently on Thursday. Where are you?
Carry on.
I never could get the hang of Thursdays.
They're all the same to me, mate. I do nothing every day. It doesn't matter if it's Thursday, Friday, or Saturday. Apart from today, I'm talking to Chris Tarrant.
Whoever that is.
Google him.
He's the presenter of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire in the United Kingdom.
And he's my favourite radio presenter ever.
And he was on the best children's programme of all time. Tiz was.
He's actually the reason I got into radio, is Chris Tarrant.
Spell and it. You know, Chris Tarrant over here is an AFL football player.
It's the same one. What he does, instead of having to travel like 24 hours on a plane, all he does is he jumps through the miracle in the middle of the planet, just comes out the other side. He's got a big tube and a hot suit, which enables him to do it in about 15 minutes.
Well, for 64 years old, he's doing well.
Right, can I just point out, before you carry on, that Mr. Adam Saunders, the gentleman who posted the negative review on iTunes, I'll just reiterate what he said, dogs running in, no dogs have run in today, incredibly annoying teenager, well, she's not been in this part of the show, and she wasn't very annoying when she was on it, and very little actual content of note. This podcast has been full of contents and notes, especially from you, Robert. And it could do with a very heavy edit. Well, it's going to get a very heavy edit and some sort of structure. It's the 20 megabyte podcast. That's the structure. There you go.
Yeah, because the other thing is, if it didn't have a very heavy edit, and if you weren't going to edit this, then you'd leave in the word bollocks when I said it.
But I have already left in the word bollocks in the earlier episode when Isabella said it.
Yeah.
If I may be pedantic, the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Yes.
Not just any 20 megabyte.
Really heavy editing would take out the work as well.
All right.
So you can get
Thank
rid of
you, Ben. I've got enough work to do on a 2-hour edit. It's going to take me about 4 hours to edit it down. Magic, aren't you going to say anything today? Magic. He's just sat under the chair being very good. He's very upset by Mr. Adam Saunders' feedback. He's feeling a bit like he's not wanted on the show. Stiles sulking in the other room. The clock's not even saying anything.
Hey, look, I'd better duck out now because
you've got to duck out because you don't want to be late for Chris.
And so that's me done for the day.
Excellent. So that's rather funny comedy timing on behalf of Skype there to actually cut out that particular moment. But yes,
considering we've gone ages and ages and ages without you cutting out, and just I was saying goodbye, it went. So while it's still there, I'll say goodbye. See you next week, gang.
So what, you're on Radio 2 imminently? I have to get my thing to record it.
Well, no, it's not until it's at 2:40, and then and the conclusion's at 3:00. But we're recording it at 12. So
We're not losing this again. Do you realize it's been 36 years since you last contacted me?
I was wondering if that was actually the case.
Ben,
I hope you enjoy your another appearance on Radio 2.
Thanks very much. I'll see you next week, people, after another probably turbulent episode of Doctor Who.
I'll have a new Wi-Fi router attached next week.
I'll look forward to it.
Bye.
Bye.
See you, Ben. Good luck.
Bye.
Have fun.
Whowon.co.uk were our illustrious sponsors. Let's see if they've got any of the new Doctor Who merchandise, which is rapidly becoming available.
Can I make another comment about the girl who waited?
You can.
While watching it with the girls the other day, only my older two girls watched. My youngest, I don't know how I'm going to get her to watch this one. She's so busy watching YouTube videos of teenage pop stars. It's just ridiculous. Anyway, Anyway, I was watching it, and one of the first things I said while it was going was, hey, I know where they filmed this episode. It's a lot of the whales Millennium Center.
Yeah.
Really? Yeah, it is.
That's a very good point, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, they actually show that in The Confidential as well. Hmm. But I haven't seen it yet. I recognize it because we've seen some of those same areas in a lot of other episodes, just slightly redressed.
Hmm.
Also, remember, the girl who waited, we've had Rory wait for 2,000 years.
Yeah, he's the boy that waited. I think that's basically what they were getting at with this, weren't they?
Yeah. And also, Amelia was referred to as the girl who waited.
Yeah, and also,
yes.
The thing is that got me about this girl who waited thing, Rory did not bring up once when she was moaning about having waited for 36 years, the 2,000 years he had to wait for her.
there's still the question whether or not he really does remember it.
He does, though, doesn't he? I'm pretty sure he has actually alluded to that earlier on in the series.
Yeah, he has flashes of it.
Yeah. Now, before we move, I just wanted to mention they got some products. So the DW magazine, sorry, DWM Special 29 11th Doctor Companion 3 publication is out at the moment, £4.99 plus £1.10 postage. There's a new TARDIS pencil case which looks absolutely superb, price £5.99 plus £1.75 postage. A pencil tin TARDIS Doctor Who type thing, £4.99. Lots of new things coming out. And, of course, the second wave of Doctor Who micro figures, one of which I had on eBay, which was a Silent that got sold.
I don't remember that.
Sorry?
I don't remember that.
No, I didn't think you would, sorry. I don't know. I'm struggling to get the news pages up and running on there, because I think the trouble with Doctor Who news when Doctor Who is on is Doctor Who itself. I'm on
overnight viewing figures for the girl who waited, 6 million.
That's good, isn't it?
Yep.
And we got John Barrowman has reiterated a return wish. He wants to come back to Doctor Who. He's reiterated that somewhere along the line.
Now here's something, the people roundup section. Here's something I saw it. I would love to come over to England and see this. Sylvester McCoy will be appearing in the Bath Theatre Royal production of The Mikado.
Oh,
that would be so fantastic. I love Gilbert and Sullivan, and Sylvester has become one of my favorite doctors.
Like Sylvester McCoy. All I said was, out of all the doctors who I all love, he's my least favorite. It doesn't mean to say I don't think he's absolutely brilliant. It's just that if I had to list all the doctors in order of preference, he would be at the bottom. That's all I say. I still love him. I think he's fantastic.
You want me to tell you who would be bottom on my list?
Yeah, go on.
Yes?
Colin Baker.
He'd be right near the top on my one.
Just going to show you how different opinions people have.
Oh, there goes the clock. Magic was thinking of saying something just a minute ago, and then he gave up. Filming for the Doctor Who Christmas special kicking off. And a report of something around Cardiff City Hall. Well, that's supposed to be on some Twitter Doctor Who spoiler thing. That's not really much of a spoiler, is it? Because it doesn't give it absolutely anything away.
I love that picture of Isabella on the sofa.
Yeah, the thing, those two pictures, the one in the thoughts bubbles. Basically, I took the picture of her, turned around, took the picture of the telly, and I thought, how am I going to combine these two to show what she was watching? And that was the only way I thought would be logical to have it.
That's a good way.
That was great.
That's exactly what she was doing. When the silent came on the screen, up came the cushion. Anyway, mates, right, so thank you for joining, and hope you enjoy the show, unlike Adam Saunders, who posted... I'm not going to go back on iPad then. Positive comments on iTunes, please.
I just posted that on all of my social connections to go out to iTunes and give us a positive rating.
Yeah, so it has to have some international positive ratings. Thank you very much, and thank you all for listening. Hopefully, if I can cheer up, we'll be back next week. My wife has been trying to scupper this podcast all week by moaning and groaning about me not devoting enough time to the house.
Was it last week's episode that she introduced it?
She did.
Yes.
Yeah, that was great.
There was a degree of tongue-in-cheek in that, but also there was a degree of truth in it as well.
Oh, I loved it.
How did you manage that?
She actually offered to do it, but she asked me to write a script for it.
Cool.
Anyway, Thank you. Hopefully see you again next week.
All right.
Bye.
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 The 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APV services production and is a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance.
Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.